praise his mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, be seated. Thank you so much for coming this morning. A beautiful morning outside. I hope you enjoyed your rain, your 5 inches of rain that washed out your driveways, perhaps. Saw a lot of those this morning. You know, we've been singing, "How Great is Our God." Let's find out why this morning. Amen. Let's expand our understanding of who Jesus is today. I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Next Sunday morning is going to be probably I know without a doubt, it'll be the most special communion service that I personally have ever taken because of what God is placing in my heart right now. It was kind of an accident, I think. For me, it was. And then you look back and you see that God said, "Here's what I want you to do." I didn't know it at the time. But as you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought it was going to be just a one Sunday thing where I spoke on covenant. And since that time, I can't get away from it. It just keeps expanding in my own life, and I understand the value of sharing this with the church and those that are watching over the internet this morning from all different countries of the world. And so what we're going to do today, there is no comedy here. There is no fun here. There is no lightheartedness where we are about to go, because the subject is so serious that it can really truly affect the rest of your life and how you see Jesus. Because right now, the way the American church sees Jesus is through the eyes of what I can do for him, ministry and work and morality and ethics. And if I can just keep all of my spiritual ducks in a row, then okay, I can lay down at night and feel pretty good about myself. When in fact, that is not Christianity. Christianity does not teach that in any way, shape, or form concerning our salvation. So today will be one of the most serious sermons I personally have ever preached, messages that I've ever delivered. And believe it or not, I had to get here by doing something that to you, it would seem rather boring. You wouldn't want to do it. But I learned so much, and what I've spent most of my week doing, you're going to say, "I've never heard that before." I've never done it before. What I've spent most of my week in my library doing this week is reading 3,000-year-old treaties between countries, between the Hittites and the Egyptians, between the Assyrians and Hittites, or between Israel and the Gibeonites. And I mean, these are on walls. For instance, if you take the Treaty of Kadesh, I'm not here to waste your time today. You're going to learn so much more on how great is Jesus today. I promise you that. And no matter how long that you have served or walked with Jesus, you're going to learn something today that you did not know when you walked in here that can truly impact your praise and worship to our God. How great is our God? Well, let's find out why. Let's take them off the page of our music and put them in our hearts. For instance, if you take the Hittites under Hattusius III, and if you take Ramesses II of Egypt, this is not in your Bible. This is history that you can go there today and read their stories on their monuments. They're still there today, right there in cartouches and in hieroglyphics. There they are, the Battle of Kadesh. And in the Battle of Kadesh, the king Hattusius III invaded down pretty much where Israel is today. They were a northern kingdom, the Hittite Empire. And then in the south, you had the great Egyptian Empire under Ramesses II, the same Ramesses who took the slaves of Israel into captivity. They went to war because they wanted world domination. And the battle was a draw. You can study it on the internet. We even know the three divisions that were in the Egyptian army. We know the divisions and the regiments that were in the Hittite armies. Ramesses was there. Hattusius was there. They went to war one day. And of all the interesting things, if you go there today and read in the Hittite stone monuments that are still there regarding this battle, the Hittites totally destroyed the Egyptians. If you go to Karnak and read Ramesses II details of the same battle, you'll find out that in his view, the Egyptians slaughtered the Hittites. So both kings after Kadesh are claiming victories. So knowing that it was a standoff and they didn't want to lose any more men and possibly their kingdoms to defeat, they signed a covenant. And in the, and this is not the, this is just the one I'm sharing to save some time this morning. And so what they did was what people did in the Near East, in the ancient Near East. They cut an animal. It was called cutting a sacrifice or cutting a covenant. So they cut the covenant. They cut the animals. They laid them out. And both kings, on the day of the signing of the treaties, the covenant, they passed through the torn animals. And that was the sign of the covenant. Now, here's the interesting thing. Boy, we're going to apply it to Jesus. Now, some of you are going to pick up on this right off the bat and shout hallelujah. Because you say, then what is the purpose then, and why do civilizations in the Near East all do it? Because here's what you didn't know. Here's what was said about the cutting of that animal. If I fail to keep my end of this covenant, may my end be the same as that animal. Think about it. Now we know that the first, see, it was the same with Abraham. Now wait a minute. Remember, Abraham had nothing to do with when he split that animal, and God confirmed the covenant. He did not make Abraham go through the animal. God was there, but who passed through the animal? A smoking oven and a flaming torch. Father, Son, bread, oven, Holy Spirit, fire, a torch. So Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, as a representative of man on that day with the Abrahamic covenant being offered, it was the Trinity that passed through and said, may the same be done to me if I don't keep my end of the deal. Now, and that's why I've entitled today's message, Christ, Our Covenant. Because he is God's representative of man. See, he never expected you and I to go through the covenant. Why? Because we would have, within 24 hours, we would have a death sentence on us. Because we can't keep the covenant. In our minds and in our thoughts and in our emotions and our actions and reactions. And our anger and our bitterness and our unforgiveness and our gossip and our lies and our rumors and our just daily and not worshiping God except maybe once at Christmas or Easter. You know the deal. If you think you can keep the covenant, then I feel sorry for you. Because you can't and you haven't. No matter how good you've been. Even Paul said, man, even our good works are nothing but camel dung in the eyes of God. It's useless to us. So who had to pass through that day in the Abrahamic covenant that we talked about last week? Jesus. He wasn't manifested yet. He wasn't manifested yet. So as the Holy Spirit shows up as a flaming torch, Jesus shows up as an oven that bakes bread. Passes through with the idea, with the promise that whoever breaks the covenant, may that same splitting of his body and death be the sentence placed upon the perpetrator of that covenant. Stay with me. You're getting it. So as the representative man, Jesus never sinned, but he took our sins upon him. We always say, Jesus died for us. That's true. Jesus took his sins upon himself as the perfect man, as the second Adam. See, the first Adam in the Garden of Eden failed to keep the covenant. You say, wait a minute. Covenant? Yeah. Let me tell you about the first covenant in the Bible that is made. It's made by God to Adam and Eve. Let's go there now, please. Let's turn, please, to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, that's Adam, From any tree of the garden you may eat freely. This is a covenant. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Here is their choice to obey God in covenant relationship. And as long as, Adam and Eve, you stay in a covenant relationship with me, I will protect you, I will bless you, you will never die, you will live forever, and your children's 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 children will all love me and we'll be happy on this place called Earth in the Garden of Eden. But it didn't take long, did it? And Adam disobeyed and listened to the serpent that day. And mankind fell with a death sentence upon it. That one didn't last long. But I want you to understand something. This is the same covenant. Why? Because God makes the covenant with himself. He's showing us here that man, in the first covenant given, that man cannot keep his covenant. So God says, I'm going to give you another example. Let's go to the second covenant, Noah. So we have Adam and Eve, then we have Noah. Let's turn, please, to Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. This is the first. This is Noah. I'm not going to give you the background on Noah. You understand Noah. But I will establish my covenant with you, Noah. And you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Now, let's go to the second. See, actually, he's given two here. He's given two promises of the same covenant. Now, let's go to Genesis 9. Same Noah, same God. Genesis 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, now, behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Now, wait a minute. Okay, but these descendants failed in their commitment to God. But let me go ahead and finish out. And with every living creature that is in you, the birds that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is... Get this. Get this. This, what I'm about to show you, Noah, is the sign that I am in covenant with you. This is the sign of the covenant, Noah, which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. Some of the most important words ever written in Scripture. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all the flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on this earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Remember that rainbow. Remember it, because in about 10 minutes, we're going right back to it in the New Testament. That is the sign of the covenant. It's a rainbow. Rainbow is the only one-sided object known to man. In other words, you can't get on the back side of a rainbow. If I'm looking to the east, and I've seen some beautiful rainbows this year. Have you noticed that? And I looked at most of them, to me anyway, the way I look at it is in the east. The pretty ones are in the east. You can't get on the east side of an eastbound rainbow. It's not there. And then it dawned on me, even this week, as I was thinking about this rainbow being the sign of the covenant, that God will keep his end of the deal. That what does it take to make a rainbow? Light and living water. So something's going on here. Something's going on here. Refracted light and living water make a rainbow. And God said, every time you see a rainbow, remember one thing. No matter what the conditions are, I am in covenant with you, earth descendants. And we are the descendants of Noah. Let's go to another one. Let's go to the third illustration. Actually, we're not even going, we're not going to bring this one up because it's chapters 15 and chapters 17 of Genesis. It's just too long. But I really covered it last week or the week prior to that when we talked about the cutting of the animal. Abraham didn't do anything. He's just standing there watching all God make a covenant with himself. Read Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. That's where we learn about covenant. The writer of Hebrews, whoever he was, we don't know who he was, he had covenant down perfectly. Just read Hebrews tonight before you go to bed and you will start loving Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So we're going to pass up this one, but I'm just letting you know historically that the next covenant is between Abraham and God, where Abraham is not so, but somebody does. Symbolic, a smoking oven and a fiery torch. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God's making a covenant with himself. The representative of us, sinful us, is just standing there going, oh my goodness. What's this all about? You see, God makes a covenant with himself to save us. Because he can't make it with you. He can't make it with you. He can't make it with me. Because I won't keep my end of the bargain. And what happens if I don't keep my end of the bargain? May it be done to me. What happened to that animal between us? Death. Is this making sense yet? So now the representative of man comes along, perfect. All God, very God of very God, all man. The problem is he takes our sins upon himself. Therefore, he becomes our representative failure. And he stands in our place. But the place of what? The place of having to pass through that animal and the same thing happening to him. Therefore, he died on the cross for our sins. He had a death sentence on him as the representative man. He's the one that took our guilt. He's the one that took our shame. He's the one that took everything bad about us and nailed it to a cross. He paid the price of the covenant that was broken through mankind. It had to happen that way. That'll make you fall in love with Jesus. Thank God I did not pass through the fire. I was not sentenced to hell. And they call that the curse. I'm not making this up. The Near East, ancient Near East writers call this, if you break this side of it, it's called the curse of the covenant. May the same thing happen to you in your failure to keep the covenant that happened to that animal. May you be torn in two and rot away. Aren't you glad that Jesus stood in our place? That as representative man, he knew we could not keep the covenant. So he took our place and we imparted our sins to him. He imputed his righteousness to us. And what is now true of Jesus through the great doctrine of substitution, what is true of Jesus is true of me. Because he passed through, I passed through, you passed through. We paid the price. The penalty was the curse of the covenant. The penalty was death, and he paid the price on the cross. Now we've looked at Noah and we've looked at Adam, then we looked at Noah, and then we looked at Abraham. But that's what happened, and I covered it a week or two ago, so we won't go to Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 17. Same covenant. And it was a covenant for the Abrahamic covenant was a covenant for a people of God's own choosing. People and a place, Israel. That was the covenant that he made that day. But he didn't make it with Abraham. He made it with himself. Why do you think of all the annihilation, all the persecution, all of the death squads and all of the concentration camps and all of the genocide and all of the horrific things going against the Jews, why do you think Israel still prospers today? Because God made a covenant with himself to give Abraham a people of his own choosing. And one of the signs of the return of Jesus is that the people will return to Israel. And they did that in some of your lifetimes. They are now there. They've been scattered all over the world. And now God is bringing millions, even as I speak, back home. And why do you think that the United States just declared accident that Jerusalem will now be for the first time a capital of Israel? We are seeing prophecy being fulfilled every day over the news if you know what you're looking at and if you know your scriptures. To those of us that are believers, it exhilarates our spirits. But if I was a non-believer, it would scare me to death. It's happening right now. Israel was the only country in the world. Can you imagine us having a country called the United States, but not being allowed by the world to have a capital? That's exactly what it was. United Nations said no capital. We'll give you some land and you can call it Israel, but you can't have a capital because that would cause too much trouble. I don't want to get political there. I'm just telling you prophecy. It's happening. Why did that happen? It shouldn't have. They should have been at, because God made a covenant with himself to give Abraham that land. And he's doing it right now, even as I speak. And we're sitting back wanting to know what's for supper. All right, let's go to the next one then. So we have Adam and Eve in Genesis. We have Noah in Genesis, the Noahic covenant. Then we have the patriarch covenant based on people and a place. God makes, remember, God's making it with himself. Then we have what is called the Sinai covenant made by God to Moses. Let's go, please, to Exodus chapter 24, verses 7 and 8. This just plays itself out. You're just seeing what God is doing. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of all the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. By the way, it took them one day to break that covenant. Remember the worshiping of the golden calf? Yeah, okay. Whatever we'll do, we will be obedient. No, you won't. Thank God Jesus is. No, you will not keep your promise to God. We don't even keep our promises to our children. We don't even keep our promises to our spouses. We don't even keep our promises to our friends. What makes us think we can keep our covenant promise to God? Don't be fooled, but praise the Lord, one is worthy. And his name is Jesus as the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, slaughtered before the foundations of the earth. It had to be that way. But there must be the death and the curse placed upon one who breaks the promise. And as our representative, Jesus broke the covenant. Not that he sinned, and really, no, he didn't really, except for substitution. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all of these words. So we now have a covenant made to Adam, broken. We now have a covenant made to Noah, broken through his descendants. Now through the patriarchs, broken. Look at their lives. Now we go Sinai, broken, golden calf. Now we go to Davidic, and we're just about finished. Now we go to the Davidic covenant. Turn, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. Watch what God does now. This is pretty interesting. Situation with Israel is now so bad that this is written under the auspices that there's no hope. It's over. But here's what under the covenant with people, it cannot be done. So here's what God's going to do in the Davidic covenant. Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David. This is a prophetic word, okay? Prophetic word given to Samuel. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and all and have been cut off from, I've cut you off from your enemies from you, and I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. And I will also appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they may that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. They're there today. Nor will I threw that one in, but it's just prophecy. What do you get from a prophet? Prophecy. Nor will the wicked afflict them anymore as formerly. For even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all of your enemies, the Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you. Descendant, singular. Who are we talking about? Jesus, from the line of David, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne on his kingdom forever. And I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and with the strokes of the sons of men. See, he didn't commit any sin, but he took our sins upon him. God had to crucify him. Death is demanded for sin. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and all of this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. A kingdom is coming, David, that your son will reign on the throne through eternity. In Jerusalem, an established covenantal kingdom that cannot be torn apart or defeated in battle, whether that battle is spiritual or physical, a kingdom that is eternal and everlasting, based upon a descendant from David. So now we have the covenant of Adam and Eve, Noah, patriarchs, Sinai, Davidic. And then we have a prophetic view from the prophets. I want you to turn, please, to Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, days are coming. We're in them. It's a prophecy from a prophet. Days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, the ones we've just been talking about, which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my, this is us, this is us. I will put my laws in them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor. They won't have to go around teaching everybody about Jesus. It's just going to come naturally to you. To each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their sins, their iniquities, and their sin I will remember no more. And that brings us back to the rainbow. Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Remember what he said to Noah in the Old Testament? Here's what he says in the book of Revelation about the throne room. You don't think this covenant is now secure through the sacrificial work of Jesus? Watch this. And he who, this is Revelation. It's not Old Testament. This is not Hittite history. This is not off of a pyramid or an obelisk somewhere or the temple at Karnak. No, no, no. Watch this. This is John's revelation of the second coming of Jesus. Hadn't happened yet. And he who was sitting was on the throne was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne. Covenant surrounds the throne of Jesus. I will not forget the covenant of what I said I would do. Turn, please, to one more reference of Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, just to show you that it's twice in there. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow, the covenant, was on his head. And his face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed in his right foot on the sea, and on his left the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. You get the idea that this thing, this was that was introduced to us back in Genesis, is going to be fulfilled. Because right now, in the throne room where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, he is surrounded by that covenant. The covenant. It's always there. The work of Jesus was so great and wonderful. And again, I'll say it again. Aren't you glad you don't have to pass between that dead animal? And because you break the covenant, have to have the same results of you being cut open like they cut open Jesus when they whipped his back. He was passing through the animal. He not only was the animal, he was the curse placed upon that animal as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of people. Do you get this? Do you understand? Do you know what it's going to be like to walk in here next Sunday morning and have a communion service? Giving praise to Jesus that he passed through the animal on our behalf? I'll finish with this one. Turn, please, to my initial text, Matthew 26, verses 20 through 29. Watch how this works. We've been through Adam, Noah, patriarchs, Sinai, Davidic, prophetic view. We've been through those things. Now, when the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being deeply grieved, each one of them began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me." The Son of Man, that's him, Jesus, that's how he identifies himself more as the Son of Man, particularly in that upper room, because he is now, whenever he says that, he's becoming our representative, our curse, our benefits. His resurrection is our resurrection. His death was our death. His curse placed upon him was our curse placed upon us. It's all been imputed to him and imparted to him, and he's been imputed. Again, if you haven't been here long, all you have to do to know if you're really a believer or not is answer the following question correctly. If you were walking through the gates of heaven, hypothetical, and somebody grabbed you and stopped you when you were coming through the beautiful gates, and they said, "Hey, why should we let you in?" What would you say? It probably would help to get that right. "Because I was a Baptist." Down to hell. I'm not saying Baptists are going to hell. I'm just saying that's a bad answer. Because God doesn't care if you're a Baptist or a Methodist. But what he does care about is the covenant and the one who carried out that covenant all the way to his own death. He paid the price. "The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man," he's talking about Judas now, "by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." It would have been good for that man, Judas, if he had never been born. And Judas, who was betraying Jesus, said, "Surely it's not I, is it, Lord, Rabbi?" Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself, Judas." And while they were eating, here we go. Watch, see this. And this is at Passover, by the way. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a prayer, a blessing, from the Psalms, that's what he would have done as a rabbi, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." When he went to the cross a few hours later. Boy, it's quiet in here. And I think that's the way it should be. when we are given revelation, all of us in our minds and in our spirits, of something so incredible. Because many of us walk into a church on Sunday just thinking, I am doing my obligation. I am going to church. It'll make me a better person, or it'll make my wife happy. Guys, ladies, this is the most important truth I've ever shared from this pulpit. You're either in covenant or you are not. And the only way you can get in covenant is through believing Jesus as who he says he was. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Remember that kingdom where the rainbow is? Let's finish this up. I want you to turn, please. Let's just get it. Just two. I'm not going to preach. I just have to give you two. I want you to turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews chapter 13. Just enjoy it. Can you just sit back for a minute and enjoy this? Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, that's Jesus, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good. See, that's why we do good stuff. This is why we help people. This is why we pray with people. This is why we go through the fire with people. Not because we deserve it, not to gather points in heaven, but because he's passed through his own body of death. Even Jesus our Lord equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see what's going on here? We want credit for us being covenant keepers. Just when you get home today, guys, turn to your wife and say, I keep my covenant, don't I? And then duck. And ladies, before you get too, never mind. And then our last one, I want you to turn. No, let's just stop there. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Because we're going to take up this again next Sunday, just prior to our lesson. I want you to come back next Sunday and have a covenant service like you've never had before in your life. Because your understanding is going to be different on what we're doing. It'll have a special meaning for you that perhaps you've never had before. But right now, may we as a collective body of believers called the church, right now, in the silence of this moment, just thank Jesus for being the covenant keeper. Just in your own way, in your own heart, just silently thank him that you don't have the curse of death on you. He took that curse upon himself. Because as the representative of man, God laid the curse, the breaking of that covenant, upon his back, upon his shoulders, upon his heart. Somebody had to pay the price for mankind breaking the covenant. And it's either every person who has ever been born or one named Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the shepherd of the flock, the great intercessor, who took upon himself our shame and our sins and crucified it on the cross. Therefore, keeping the law of the covenant. It's one of the most, if you'll think about covenant all week, it's one of the most wonderful things to contemplate. Thank you for the covenant. I want to live my life thankful for the covenant. It gives Jesus all the praise and all the glory. It takes away our egos. It takes away our efforts. We don't serve Jesus to get into heaven. We serve Jesus because of what he did on this earth. That's what makes us moral people. That's what makes us good people. That's what makes us joyful people. Any other understanding is wrong. I wake up with joy today, not because of my situations or what I'm able to do or not do, because that would just end in disappointment. I wake up joyful in the morning because of what Jesus did on the cross, taking my sins, and because he passed through the animal, I don't have to anymore. and it's never going to happen again. It's over. He was resurrected on the third day. Amen? That ought to cause us to be the happiest people on the face of this planet. Just thank Him. Before we come in here and meet next, I'm so excited for next Sunday. Because I think something wonderful. If you haven't heard the past 2 weeks, please go back and watch. Let's be of one mind when we walk in here next Sunday morning. Let's be of one mind concerning the covenant. If you're watching on the internet, may I invite you to go back 2 or 3 weeks. Rusty, how long have I been in this? I don't know. 2 or 3 weeks? 3 weeks, or is this the third week, Mickey, or I think it's three. But you might have to go back 4. I just don't remember because I never intended to do this. This has just taken me in places that have surprised me and so lifted my spirit to places where I have never really been before and how I see. It's scriptural. It's biblical. It's Christianity. And I knew it, but I've never put it together in a series and just began to see the greatness of it all as it's all been lumped together from Noah, from Adam all the way to Jesus. Father, right now, may today be a preparation for next Sunday morning. May you bring us people who just want to thank you, have gratitude for keeping the covenant. And when we broke it, you took the punishment and passed through the fire. Thank you, Father, that it'll never happen again because the covenant that you now have around the throne, the rainbow covenant that you now have at the throne, is an everlasting covenant, cannot be broken, never will be broken again. You are our representative, Lord Jesus. Thank you for taking our punishment and hell and curses upon yourself. And as we celebrate the covenant meal, that's what it's called, church. The covenant meal. Lord, as we celebrate the covenant meal next Sunday morning, may we at least understand to some degree, not all of it, not exhaustively, but may we understand as much as you allow our hearts to this week to celebrate you, God, Father, and you, God, Son, Savior, and you, God, Spirit, Leader, Guide, Comforter. And may we just enjoy you because of where you are now, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. In Jesus' wonderful, holy, covenantal name, everlasting covenant name, we pray. Amen.